Good evening, Tribe, and welcome to your Dose of Naked Football. In the studio tonight, we welcome back a man who's just returned from holiday to find that we still haven't signed a striker for him, and he is Ray Slegg.
Bonjour.
And appearing for his second stint on the show is town fan Jeremy Lieben.
Hello.
And completing the cuddly foursome for tonight is our very own Phil Ham.
Hello.
Naturally, we'll discuss last night's game at Oakwell, including the reaction of a small element of fans. We'll also look forward to the Charlton game at home on Saturday. And, of course, we'll continue to play guessing games regarding the possible loan signings or not. So email in with your thoughts, and don't forget to let us know if you'd like to come on the show as well. And the usual address is studio@icrfm.co.uk. And, of course, you can also text us on 07973 851 968. Right, I left the game thoroughly miserable and windswept. How was it for you, Phil?
It was fairly dispiriting, has to be said. It was a funny sort of game, in a way, in that at half-time you'd have looked at it and thought we probably deserved to be in front and had given away, had kind of gifted them a goal that they certainly didn't deserve on the performance. I think if you'd have asked someone which side was going to win 4-1 at that stage, you'd probably have said Ipswich. But defensively, we were just absolutely atrocious. Even before we scored the goal, I think Odejaye? I'm terrible at names. He had two really good chances, which were sort of slips at the back, I think both by Richard Naylor. And Tam were really quite unlucky that he didn't take those chances. But the second half, you just have to see the goals. I mean, the first goal, the way that the defence just kind of made an assumption based that the ball would go out and on a pitch that was really quite spongy and the ball was sort of sticking. The second and fourth goals were really, really quite atrocious, weren't they? I mean, it's an absolute horror show. I should think that Jim McGilton, Brian Klug, and Andy Rhodes will be looking at it and sort of shaking their heads today, because I can rarely recall two worse goals to be conceded from set pieces than those. I don't know. I mean, you've seen them on the television. I haven't. But
well, I was lucky enough to see them on the Norwich City football show last night on ITV.
I was still on the A1 at that stage.
Well, Norwich City football show showed a brief. Then I saw them again later on Sky, so I couldn't believe what I saw the first time. I thought, well, I must watch these again. It wasn't that bad, was it? And excuses about the wind, the conditions. You know, these are professional footballers who are well-trained professional men who earn lots of money. Adapt to the conditions, lads, you know. And I'm not trying to get on a witch hunt for poor old goalkeeper. I thought the goalkeeper was certainly culpable for two, possibly three of the goals, and he should control his six-yard box. That is his area. That should be sacrosanct. And I've seen him do it before. It's not just last night. And it's just a horror show what I could see. And it's a bit like Sheffield United. We played well away, could have won the game, stories, but we go and lose it again, quite convincingly. Mm. So we're back to square one, and we're struggling.
Jeremy, what do you make of it on the telly? I know you only saw it on the telly.
Yeah, well, a combination of listening to it on the radio and then obviously seeing the goals later on the TV. But I mean, from what I could gather from what they said, it was quite a strange sort of game in that going forward we seemed to be playing quite well, created one or two chances. From what I could gather, Lee and Canago looked to be back to somewhere towards some sort of a form, which have been lacking for both of them in recent times. And then Alan Quinn, by all accounts, did okay, but just defensively, as Phil and Ray have said, just a complete joke. Mm. It's just like those second and fourth goals, just to concede a headed goal with it maybe 4 yards out for both of those. I know the wind obviously did play a part, and on the TV cameras you couldn't quite see the degree to which it swirled because the ball was actually above the camera view.
It did hold up, definitely held up, yeah.
But it's just if you've got, goalkeeper, if goalkeeper goes for it, then if he gets his hands on the ball, if he gets challenged by a striker, it's going to be given a foul in his favour the way the game is these days. Mm. So really, there's not too many excuses in that particular area of the field, I don't think. So,
I mean, I think it's a fairly unique achievement from Brian Howard in that he had two shots and he managed to score a hat trick because the corner went straight into the goal. I think Pablo and Alan Lee, as you say, they did combine quite well and they did create chances for one another, but unfortunately neither of them took the chances, with the exception of Pablo early on. Lee, I mean, they both hit the bar. I didn't realise Lee had hit the bar. Yeah. I thought it was a save at the time, but Yeah, they both hit the woodwork, but they were, you know, we did have chances to win that, but it was a case. I mean, it could have been like that Crewe match a few years back when we won 6-4, because every, you know, it was one of those, every time we created a chance, we created one for them at the other end as well. It really, really was. I mean, terrible at the back, and you do wonder how whether we've actually progressed very far from that kind of Joe Royal era when we did kind of have to win a have to score six goals in order to win a game by two.
Well, no, I think that's a very good question. And your website today has had a bit of a sensible discussion for a change on the website. And asking very good questions like, if Joe had £3 million, what would he have done? Again, I don't want any hypersensitive listeners to come charging onto the Graham's poor old machine and cracking, but Joe did miracles with no money. And people, for some reason, still slag the poor old guy off. He saved us from going down, which we were in serious danger of doing when he arrived. We were 18th in the table, and he dragged us to two playoffs. All right, we didn't win the playoffs, but George Burley had 5-4, he won one. I just think I'm very disillusioned at the moment. Very football fans are cynical. We are cynical. We are, fickle. But apparently the last three performances, which I haven't seen, have been away, have been very insipid, very turgid, not very inspiring, not very exciting. And that makes me worried, because we spend money to have completely the opposite of that, and to charge into the automatic spots and not be where we are now. And we could be worse off tonight if the results go against us.
Do you think that the current sort of, I don't want to use the word malaise, but the current situation is largely a result of so many players coming in at the same time in January, and all of them coming into the side at the same time, particularly the goalkeeper, because I think goalkeepers and defences take a while to get to know one another and get to communicate. I mean, I've seen this quite a lot in the games recently, sort of someone will put the ball out for a corner with the goalkeeper half coming out, and do you know what I mean? There doesn't seem to be any kind of what's the word? It all seems a bit half-hearted. I mean, to some extent, it was fairly similar when Neil Alexander started. The first month so,
he was not.
People were a bit concerned on that front. But as it was, we didn't have a game like last night's game where we lost 4-1 and the goalkeeper was pretty much at fault on all except one goal. How much blame do you think we can put on the fact that, you know, players being bedded in at a crucial stage of the season?
Well, I think, as I said, they're all professionals. They work on the training pitch every day of the week. We go out to work 9 to 5, sweat our socks off. They work on the football pitch 5 days a week. They should sort these things out. Now, I accept it may take a couple of games in match situations to learn who does what, how you do, what their habits are. But flipping it, you know, we're now quite a bit on since the January window, and we seem to be sliding backwards. Now, I don't know why. I have my theories why, but
go on then, give us some.
Well, it may be that, one, you've just said too many people in, too many cooks spoil the broth. The wage structure could have been unsettled, and some people could be unhappy in the dressing room, possibly, because we have broken the wage structure.
Well, the wage structure has changed more than anything. I mean, the whole financial side of the club has changed. I don't think you say that the wage structure has been broken. It's not like we've kind of suddenly brought in someone on twice the wages. Simply just to kind of accommodate one player. It's more a case the whole infrastructure of the club has moved on vastly in a very short period of time.
Well, the infrastructure has, but I'm afraid the playing structure hasn't. The playing has gone back. You cannot deny that we have gone backwards since January.
Form has gone backwards. I mean, the quality of player
individually. The position in the league table is, you cannot deny the position. And it could be worse tonight. Now, you know, Saturday we win 5-0, everything changes. We're fickle, we're happy, we're near us again. But at this moment in time, we could be 10th or 11th tomorrow in the table, which I would suggest is certainly underperforming and not satisfactory.
I think one thing that has changed, obviously, this is going to sound stupid after last night's game, but up until 7:45 last night before the match started, more recently I think we have looked more solid defensively up before the game.
Yeah.
If you take into example the trips to, say, Sheffield Wednesday, obviously we won, Crystal Palace, where we won 1-0. Stoke, although we lost the game 1-0, they're top of the table side, or second they are now, or what have you. But and, you know, by all accounts, we contained them reasonably well.
Mm.
But we seem, with the new signings, to have lost quite a lot going forward. Like, we're not scoring many goals recently. Like, we scored 2 home to Blackpool a few weeks ago. I'm not sure of the exact stats, but
I looked them up the other day, but I can't remember them off the top of my head. But I think the last time we scored 3 goals was against Scunthorpe, which was what, mid-December. And I think before that, you're talking Bristol City, probably, yeah.
Mm.
Since then, I think we've only scored twice in probably 2 or 3 games, which, you know, tells the tale in itself. I think you're right. in as much as we haven't conceded, until last night, until we hadn't conceded night, lots of goals, but at the same time we haven't scored the goals.
Tried to tighten up at the back, but lost a lot going forward, and now with the defence collapsing the way it did yesterday, then that brings us sort of, well, throws a lot of questions up in the air, really.
The defence seems to change every minute. I mean, every week there's a different formation, so I'm not sure whether Jim knows his preferred back four. But I think Sito was unlucky not to get back into the team when he'd finished his booking. His three game ban. I thought he'd been playing very well and he should have come back in the team. But Jim left him out, and how does Sito feel after that? He worked very hard, I thought, to get back in, played reasonably well, but very well, and then doesn't get back in.
But then again, you know, David Wright had been playing very well, so you couldn't really drop him, and Dan Hardy.
Although he did drop David
had
Wright.
Had one or two
he
couple
did
of
drop
games.
David Wright, didn't
well,
he?
That's true. And then he brought Alex Bruce in to do a job in particular games, didn't he? Really, against the sort of
like last night.
Specifically Stoke.
Palace,
where they've got big squads. So, yeah, have we got anything on the wires?
We have. This one is probably going to be quite a few like this. Following last night's disappointing result and the reported abuse being aimed at Mr. Bywater from some sections of the town crowd, is it time to give Colgan an opportunity between the sticks? Also, it has been apparent for some time that we need a 20 goals a season man up front, that'll keep you happy, Ray, and a new back four. So why did Jim get a new midfield during the transfer window? That's from Andrew Cook.
Well, I think Jim did try and buy certainly a centre half, because he was after Gareth
McCauley.
But obviously that failed, and he didn't seem to have a second choice there, although, you know, all these other names were mentioned.
Rob Jones
at Hibs, and the fella at Droida, whose name at Gartside, Graham Gartside, was it? Graham Gartland, I think. But a striker, again, we come back to this, we've spoken about for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, the David Nugent, or what used to be called the Francis Jeffers from a year ago. I mean, it's funny, actually, looking back at the last couple of years, we've had this kind of falling away about this time of the season. In Joe Royal's last season we did, because we got to a reasonable position, didn't we, sort of ninth or something like that.
We lost at Preston on a Friday night.
And then we had a complete collapse after that.
We lost Kuki then, that Kuki.
I think that's the year before, wasn't it? So that's another year we've done that. And then last season, we had, February was terrible, and then we had a couple of decent results in March, and then we fell away again, didn't we, towards the end of the season. It seems to be something that happens on an annual basis at the moment. But yes, the striker, the goal getter, the 22 goal, the David Johnson type figure that we've been after for a couple of years. I mean, still no other names that anyone can suggest as a possible target now that Nugent has failed.
Well, it seems Pollock just spent all his time going after David Norris. Now, I'm not knocking that, but he seems to spend all his time after one player. I'm not quite realising, we need to get somebody to put the ball in the back of the net. It's quite important, because you win matches by scoring goals. I know you got knocked back on Nugent, you got knocked back on Darren Benn, but you've got to have alternatives. You do this job full time, all day, you must have alternatives if things go wrong. And where is he going to go now? I still think we need a striker on loan from somewhere.
Name some possible targets. I mean,
I'd like to think of some.
Danny Webber at Sheffield United.
Well, yeah, is he
was. I mean, listed as an option, but I don't know what the latest is.
But he was mentioned in January, wasn't he, as a possible target? And I suppose he is exactly that sort of target. But he's had an injury. The other thing is, of course, if you bring in a player who's had an injury, which is again was the case with Nugent, it's going to take him three or four games to get fit. Well, three or four games to get fit, and you're almost at the end of the season.
We've got one here, Rowett. These two tie in nicely. Rowena Mackey, he should never have got rid of Supple. And then another one, a Shane from Falkirk says, can I have a game, please?
the best post on the message board the other day about him was someone saying, I wonder if Shane Supple was going to renew his season ticket at Falkirk for next season. Yeah, Supple, obviously, they've made a bit of a mistake there, haven't they? He's gone there, and with the idea of he's going to play football, and what seems to have happened is that their reserve goalkeeper has done very well in the game against Rangers, and the Falkirk manager now feels he's in a position where he can't drop him, which you can understand from their perspective, but it's useless from Town's perspective, because Supple went up there to get games. Anyone disagree with that? I don't think anyone does, really. And of course, the other thing is, now, after sort of the performance last night, and Bywater's performance in particular, I think a lot of people feel we're better off having kept Supple and not brought in Bywater.
Supple's never done a lot wrong for me when he's played. I mean, he hasn't had a look in this season, but before, you know, there was a time when he was first choice
yeah.
of Lewis Price, wasn't there? And, you know, those two were kind of seesawing for the number one jersey. But So he let Price go, so you think, right, okay, then he must have biggish plans for, well, he brought Alexander in, and then Supple, more than adequate reserve, but... Yeah, unless he felt in training he'd seen him maybe digress this season or sort of slip back, I don't know, because obviously we don't know what goes on.
But I mean, he's still very young. I mean, he's what, 21? Which is for a goalkeeper is you know, nothing. So the idea of getting him out to the SPL to play a few games in... I mean, it's not just a matter of playing games, it's kind of in crowds and things like that. I remember Joe Raw talking about that with Lewis Price when Lewis Price went on loan to Cambridge, I think it was. He said it was the fact of playing in front of crowds rather than the standard of football or anything like that, that sort of goalkeepers in particular, because you're sort of so close, that you know, is getting the kind of mental aspect of that side of the game. But I mean, you know, all right. So we've got three choices really. we could have kept Supple, brought in Bywater. Or chosen to field Colvin instead. Now, which of those three would you prefer?
Well, Supple, but I don't think we can get him back.
No, we can't get him back now.
So it's gone. You know, so it's less of the two.
With hindsight,
I've kept Supple, obviously. Yeah. With hindsight, wonderful thing. Hindsight, yes, definitely. We don't know what Colvin's like, do you? I've never seen.
No, I don't know much.
Colvin had a fantastic game for Barnsley against Town 2 years ago.
I would have been, but I've not.
We had, I think we lost 1-0. Someone will probably correct me and say we won 6-5 or something, but I think we lost 1-0, and I think he played very well in that game, and I wonder whether Jim kind of remembered that, and when he became available, sort of thought, well, he's an ideal kind of to fulfil that Lee Bracey, Mike Salmon, Brannigan type role. Coming on to Bywater, of course, the abuse he got last night, I thought was, although he played really quite poorly, I think it was a bit unfair, the treatment he got. I mean, you know, he had people booing him, people saying some song about sending him back to Derby, wasn't there? I couldn't really decipher what it was all about. Are you Marshall in disguise at one point? And really, you know, it was really quite strong. I can't really remember a player getting quite that abused since the days of Andy Marshall. I mean, I'm sort of don't think it does any good really when you've got a keeper struggling.
But does his confidence no good at all? If he's got any confidence. But whilst you cannot condemn personal abuse, and I heard some of the words were quite personally abusive, that is completely out of order. I think if people trek up to Barnsley on a wet Tuesday night and somebody has a mare of a game which costs us 3 points, they're allowed to express their disapproval. The odd boo I don't think is out of place, but personal abuse, no, we don't want that at all. There's no place for it. But I think some sort of personal dissatisfaction to be shown, I think, is reasonable. And you boys went last night, I guess you would agree with that?
I can understand people being frustrated, but at the end of the day, you want your goalkeeper to play better rather than worse, and kind of giving him abuse that's going to kind of... make him feel, you know, less confident at a time when probably he's feeling a bit on edge anyway because of letting in sort of two or three daft goals. It's not helping matters.
Well, it might work the other way. You might say, I'll show these people on Saturday. I'll show them I am a good goalkeeper. It might work the other way.
Well, it could do. I remember that game we went to Liverpool in the Carling Cup about 4 years ago when Jerzy Dudek had made some disaster a few weeks earlier, and he got brought back, didn't he?
Against Manchester United, he let the one on the TV.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And he was brought back for our game, and the cop got really behind him, and he played really well that night. I mean, I think, you know, but for him, we probably would have won that match. And I think he ended up saving all our penalties, although that's not saying much given our record on penalties. you know, it would be nice. I know it's probably not going to happen because I don't think Portman Road's quite like that. If Portman Road got behind him in that way on Saturday to try and kind of boost him a bit in what is, you know, a really crucial game Saturday.
I mean, that's the thing. If it extends into Portman Road on Saturday, I mean, I don't know
if whether there's sort of, I mean, how many, just a small section of the crowd was it booing, or was it
quite,
it wasn't that many, to be fair, was it? But he was getting jeered as well by Moore, but yeah, there's only a few really giving him,
I mean, there was a sort of sarcastic applause whenever he caught the ball, wasn't there, like on and
think about it from his point, if he got it in the back of his head that every time he touches the ball, whether he kicks it up, someone's going to be
booing. I know, I mean, that's
it's
what happens,
it's going to blow your mind, isn't it? And it's, I can't see it helping you, to be honest. I mean, so I don't think it's worth it. You know, I don't see the point of it really.
Any opinions on this, on the old?
Well, we've got one from Lum Mullet. Well, we've got a couple more saying, why can't we just give the kids a go? Because if it's not working, and also Shane Supple, what does it matter if he's young? Rooney was young, so. Which I think we all agree, give them a go, but we can't. From Lum Mullet, are the wheels about to fall off the playoff push? If you think yes, then why? Yes, what I said, yeah. The playoff push or the playoff bush, whichever you want to discuss. So, do you think so or not?
We've got a flat tyre at the moment.
Do you think the wheels not come off, just flat tyre?
Very good. I'll be optimistic here. I may be in the sound of... we've got 9 games left, 5 are at home. The away games aren't difficult. Really, on paper, they should be winnable.
Scunthorpe, Colchester and...
Wolves and Preston. They're all winnable, because Wolves, we never do well there, but they're not world beaters. And I think if we just need a good 3 or 4-0 win on Saturday, 3 points, 56, we're back in it. So I'll try and be positive and upbeat, although I may have not been in the rest of the programme, but the fixture list gives us hope. Mm. But we've got to get those boys' minds attuned to winning a game, and that obviously have lost it somewhere along the line. I don't know why or how. Charlton are struggling. They were booed off the pitch on Saturday at home. They lost 1-0 last night. We must win. Obviously, we all agree with that. But it must be 3 or 4-0, convincing display. We then have Scunthorpe away, and then QPR, and I think Colchester. And with no disrespect to those clubs, I'd suggest they're all winnable.
Well, I don't, you see, QPR and Preston are both on a bit of a run.
I think QPR's a tough one at the
QPR's
moment.
QPR's really hard. They've got loads of dosh now, haven't they?
But it's at home.
That's true. But then...
And Preston have been going great. They haven't lost for a while, have they?
But the other thing with someone like QPR, and also with Charlton on Saturday, is that they're actually going to come and try and play football against us rather than take the approach of sitting back in depth, which I think has been a problem with a lot of the home games in recent weeks and you know, probably going back a couple of months really. But as we've said all along, it would be really nice to get a decent striker, I mean, that's not to say that, you know, Alan Nee's not a decent striker at this level and that Pablo's not a decent striker at this level, but neither of them are the kind of out and out David Johnson type, Alex Matthew type goal scorer, are they? The Francis Jeffers from last year.
Goal sniffer.
Fox in the box.
When the ball comes across the box.
But you have to say Fox in the box in this sort of conversation at that point, don't
contract. We should actually call the show the Fox in the Box, really, shouldn't we?
Especially when you were talking about
the people you're talking about, with the exception maybe of... Yeah, perfect. With the exception maybe of Marcus Stewart, they're all tiny players, aren't they? That's what we're missing, some nippy little player. Like Jeffers, like David Johnson, as you said,
like
and Matthew, and like yourself, so you can play. I don't think you could do it.
I think that's exactly the sort of player we need, isn't it? That sort of a goal scorer, as opposed to
Jim's got a call in his mates. He must have some mates in the game. Premiership managers, look, lads, we need a striker. Who's just coming back from injury? Who needs a few games? Who can we help each other? He's got to have a few phone calls because the situation, it's not desperate, but it's. It may look more worrying tomorrow morning if he's
serious, table. But not desperate.
Not yet.
The problem with the Premiership is so many teams sort of potentially like relegation dogfight that I don't know. It's being relegated from the Premiership is such a massive deal to any club that it happens to that it's just I don't know. Actually persuading them to part with any players, I think.
What about Shevchenko? He's not getting a game at the moment.
we'll pay 0.1% of his wages.
So if you said to Marcus Evans, Shevchenko will come if you'll foot the wages, you might get a surprising answer.
Well, yeah, but he's injured though, isn't he, as well? And I don't know. I think we're getting...
Where is he?
I think we're getting onto the kind of realms of fantasy, though, if Chelsea... But I don't know. No, anyway, anything else
earlier, quite a big one here, from Steve Butcher. Appears things are getting worse. Although the forum suggests that we might not have played as badly as the scoreline suggests, my correspondent says we were dreadful and that our goalkeeper gave the worst performance from a professional footballer that he's ever seen. Pretty damning. And he goes on, do you guys feel that our failure to address the acknowledged weakness in the squad, centre-backs, left midfield, more strikers, during the window or since, has already come home to roost. As I see it, we now have a right midfielder, Walters, 8 central midfielders, that's Sumi, Garvin, Norris, Quinn, Trotter, Legwinski, Williams and Miller, competing for 2 places, but fundamental problems just about everywhere else. It's been reported that Jim has now scaled down his search for loan signings. Is this wise? In spite of our poor form recently, a run of victories will still see us in the playoffs, and then who knows? On the other hand, no new recruits. It'll be likely that another poor result on Saturday and another season in this poor division looms. Or have you got more faith? And if he goes for loans, who should they be? Well, we've started.
We don't know.
There you go. There's about 18 questions there.
Well, okay. I mean, I'd say that actually with all the signings in January, I think that probably the one that I think is the best is the one who's come in at left midfield, which is Alan Quinn. I think he's been extremely consistent.
Yeah.
I don't know whether anyone else.
Yeah, he played well last night. One of the few.
But he only got 5 in the paper, I think. I looked at the marks on DDD, and I think he only got 5 in the paper.
He must have had the hair in his eyes from all that wind, I reckon.
Well, but yes, I think he has missed the boat. I think Magilton has missed the boat. That's a very fair point. He should have addressed the winches earlier. We're now struggling. We're flailing. We're trying to do what we can with what we've got. Some people run out of steam. Some people aren't performing. Some are underperforming. And he's missed the boat, and I'm afraid it looks possible, I'll try and be optimistic, but not definite, we may miss the boat again. If we don't make the playoffs, what a summer will that be?
Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Norris, there's rumour that he's carrying an injury kind of thing, so I heard it said that we may not see the best of him until perhaps next season, so... So reserve judgment on him, I think, for the time being, although he's done okay since he's come in, but... I don't know really. I mean, it's like it's just one result could change things. Like we said before, if we go out Saturday, perform how we did pre-Christmas or any of those games really pre-Christmas, then get a decent victory under our belts puts us right back in it. But the last 3, 4, 5 games, it's not looking good. There's the sort of momentum's gone, and even if we, you know, if you go into the playoffs, you need momentum on your side, and we're going to have to build some momentum now to even make the playoffs. So I don't know, it's difficult. But then, say for example, if we didn't make the playoffs, how much of a disaster would that be? I mean, do you think?
A disaster. You asked Marcus Evans.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it? I mean, you know, Marcus.
It's a disaster.
I don't think Marcus would have come in thinking we're going to get promotion this season.
I don't think you gave £3 million in January to not make the playoffs. I think his minimum requirement would have been playoffs.
Playoffs,
it will be
a
disaster.
But the playoffs, you know, they are a goal, but they're kind of a kind of stepping stone towards promotion. And I think promotion is what Marcus Evans is looking at. And the plan is a 2-year plan. You can't bring in a load of players in January and expect to get promoted in May.
But we were so close in January to the playoffs.
But do you not think we're just putting the groundwork in place ahead of next season? And if we get promoted this year, it's a bonus.
I think he wanted to get playoffs. He saw a chance and he gave the money to get that chance and go in the playoffs. Don't do it. Failure. Yeah.
Okay, talking about next season, we haven't got any seconds left. But quick email: will Jim get the boot if we're not challenging near the top next year? Yes or no?
Hang on, next year?
Yeah, next year.
Possibly. At the end of next season if we haven't made a very decent fist of it.
Yeah.
No, we'll go before then. He might even go in the summer if we fail to get the playoffs.
I don't think so.
Okay, well...
He's had the famous backing now, hasn't he? Which is
I think Jim's got plenty of time, really.
Right, he's got more time than you have, Phil. Sorry, we've got to go. Right, thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Phil. And from me, till next week, have a good one, everyone. Take care. Bye.
We didn't do that.